Hi, this is Spencer Pollard. We're doing the Philosophy of Law final right now for the Uranium Y-12 break-in by the Plowshares and Dorothy Day. So first, we're going to start off with a couple of definitions just to get everything out of the way. So first off, we're going to answer the question, what is a state? A state is basically just a piece of land that is owned by one group of people or one person and has dominion over the civilians that live within that state or within those boundary lines. It's a pretty general definition, but it's basically like any form of government or something like that that has power over its people and the actual land around them. So the next thing we're going to define is a civil disobedience practitioner. So a civil disobedience practitioner believes that the government is still in place, but it must be disobeyed in a civil nature. Basically, the preconditions of the civil disobedience practitioner is that the state is just to a reasonable kind of standpoint. The state is also legitimate. And most of the laws are reasonably just, but not all of them. Within those boundaries, we then also have a general duty to obey the laws that are reasonably just, but disobey the laws that are not and put into place our opinions about them. So I guess an example is you could probably say that that's kind of like the current arrangements right now. Just the fact that we have a government, pretty much all the laws that are in place are, generally aimed for the better good of society. But you always end up with a few laws that are unjust that must be protested against, but it shouldn't be done in a violent manner or in anything like that. A couple of important points about the civil disobedience practitioners is they believe that there is a difference between what is just and what is the law, number one. And number two, they believe that the law should conform to what is just. When you are disobeying the law, number one, there must be an unjust law, obviously. Number two, there must be an action, which is a breaking of the law. So does it have to be an unjust law that is broken? I would say definitely yes, especially because the civil disobedience practitioner believes in some kind of natural law, that there is some right law to be in place that is just. There must be intention, so the intention here must be to correct the unjust law through action, and the action must be done publicly and non-violently, and the important part actually is afterwards you must accept the punishment that is given to you. The next kind of viewpoint that we're going to look at is philosophical anarchy. So there's two different kinds of philosophical anarchy that I'm going to point out. First one is a priori, which there is no legitimate state, so just period, the end. It is illegitimate anytime somebody tries to use coerciveness or tries to have dominion over anything. And then there's a posteriori philosophical anarchy, which is that there may be a legitimate state, but there's not one that actually exists today. Just to kind of bring everything together right now with one of the quotes from Simmons, is philosophical anarchists typically take state illegitimacy to simply remove any strong moral presumption in favor of obedience to, compliance with, or support for existing states. Okay, so I think that's enough on the definitions here. So next we're going to go move on to some of the facts of this case. I got a couple of excerpts that I want to read. Maybe I'll just, in order to save time, probably just paraphrase them. But the group of activists is called the Plowshares. They've been since the 1950s. They've basically been breaking in to a bunch of like nuclear weapon sites throughout the United States. And doing graffiti and other conducts of disobedience. But the thing is that a couple of the facts is that they've almost always succeeded in that. So when they did end up going to the Y-12 site and breaking in and doing the Ban the Bomb kind of stuff. Number one, the security for the officers at the site was whackin' nuts services. But like I said, I've got an insert that I'm going to read right here. About a fifth of the cameras on the fences surrounding the protected area were not working that night. One camera did capture someone climbing through a fence, but the other security officer that might have seen the image was talking to another officer and not looking at his screen. Cameras and motion detectors at the site had been broken for months. The security equipment was maintained by Babcock and Wilcox, a private contractor that managed Y-12. And while the officers who relied on the equipment worked for Wackenet, there was poor communication between the two companies, which contributed to long delays whenever something needed to be fixed. So, right here, this is, I would say, probably the biggest part of the case, for me at least, is that there is clearly negligence happening over here in a privatized, kind of contracted thing. If there is truly negligence in this, then the case should, number one, be thrown out, I think, and there should really be a serious kind of dismantling and rebuilding of the Y-12 facility, or I think it should be given back to the federal government so that there's, you know, a lot more money in place and people are actually able to come together and get these things fixed, because it needs to be secure, right? We can't have a weapons-grade uranium site just able to have the fence cut and walked in by anybody that that wants to go in there. So when they did get caught, there were a couple of facts that I want to put down there just in order to kind of bring my conclusion together. So they were definitely in violation of the trespassing, and but they also faced two felony accounts, and the first was for willfully and maliciously destroying property, right? So the destruction, the graffiti. And the second was for committing a depredation against property of the United States that was above $1,000. So they just had to make sure that the things that they did amounted to a dollar sign of more than $1,000. The felony counts could have led to 15 years in prison, and the lawyers that were representing the activists discussed a possible plea bargain, but the plea bargain was later foregone by the plowshares. So after that, the government had threatened to file an even more serious charge, which was sabotage, and they actually ended up putting sabotage in there. But luckily, sabotage got voted out by, I think it was, 2/3 vote. So, we're going to go over the two ways that the people would think about this from a philosophical anarchist perspective, and also from a civil disobedience practitioner perspective. So the philosophical anarchist is going to think that this is a great display for showing the illegitimacy of the state. Number one, they successfully were able to show that the monopolistic system that was in effect was completely inefficient. They were trying to cut costs by firing employees, and people were basically lacked communication. There were three different people that were working together and just couldn't communicate with each other. A fifth of the cameras weren't working. Things weren't being repaired. Awful. So number one, it's a great display of the inefficiency. But they also demonstrated that they believed in something that was wrong, and that the government was actually committing an unfair and unjust crime. Basically, they were murdering thousands of civilians. I think it was like 50,000 civilians or something like that were killed by the weapons grade nuclear kind of shit that we sent over there. And they also ended up doing it in a non-violent manner, which I believe is all of those things are shared also by the civil disobedience practitioner. But there's a couple things that the civil disobedience practitioner would disagree with the philosophical anarchist in. So number one is obviously the legitimacy of the state. philosophical anarchist would say that the reason why you the reason why this was okay is because the state is illegitimate, and therefore should be dismantled and brought down to a more equalized kind of society and non-hierarchical. The civil disobedience practitioner. The civil disobedience practitioner has a little bit more rules, I think, that follow. So they would need to make sure that they were following all of those four things that were stated above. So I'll go over those again. So there must be an unjust law. That's the first rule. And clearly, it was unjust to be making nuclear-grade bombs and bombing Hiroshima, killing thousands of innocent civilians. So that was definitely a check mark on that one. The action, so the breaking of the law, has to be an unjust law in order to be broken, but they did end up breaking the law, right? Breaking in and destroying property. Here's the third one, which is, I think, something where they failed in the civil disobedience practitioner's mind, is intention. So the third rule of intention is that there must be an intention to correct the unjust law through the action that they were doing. I really don't see how breaking in is an intention to correct the civil injustice that they were committing. And now that I think about it, I'm not sure that there actually is a way of making sure that there is intention, or that there was intention to correct. Like, how would you break the law to show that nuclear facilities weren't good? Maybe this is the way to do it. But I think that they're a little bit shaky there. And then having the action be public, it ended up being public because of the court case, but it wasn't, it was done in the public, but it was done out of view of the public. So they might be a little iffy on that one as well for having a public display. The action must be non-violent. You can argue that violence occurred because of the vandal, but not really. I think violence has to be human to human, or person to person, in order to be considered truly violent as a means of disobedience. And then the last one, which they actually nailed it right on the head, is that you must accept the punishment that's given to you. So when they rejected the plea bargain and they wanted to take it to court, they were doing the right thing right there, going and having a jury decide what exactly their punishment was going to be. Is right along with the civil disobedience and the legitimacy of the state. Next thing. The civil disobedience and the philosophical anarchist, they're going to really agree on a lot of those, on a lot of the things that they did as a good way of displaying either the illegitimacy of the illegitimacy or the unjustness of certain laws and things that are in place. But in my opinion, I think that the sabotage would be a ridiculous thing to charge for. The party was merely trying to express their opinion on nuclear weapons, uranium, and they were actually trying to change the state of affairs for the betterment of the country. We want to make sure that we're treating not only ourselves fairly, but we want to make sure that we're treating other countries the way that we would like to, treat ourselves. And murdering civilians with nuclear weapons is probably not the most moral thing to do, and it really does not line up well for our country. So I would say that sabotage was should be thrown out immediately. Again, as I mentioned earlier, I would have said that the whole case would have been thrown out just simply because of negligence of the people that were working at the Y-12 facility. They were also doing a great service by showing that it was inefficient. If they had never broken in, then we never would have known that the security was faulty, or that people were cheating on their performance tests and things like that, in order to make sure that they were cutting costs. They were going to just cut people. People that were working there aren't paying attention, and there's weapons-grade uranium just hanging out. And so I think that was a really good thing to show you know, society, that maybe it's not the best way to run a society with one government in place. Maybe the philosophical anarchists are correct in that there will be a peaceful cooperation between us, and we don't really need one big government telling us what's good and what's bad. If I was going to say who is correct, who's right, and who's wrong on the issue, I'm going to go with the civil disobedience one, because I do believe that there is a legitimate state that exists, simply because, you know, we're human beings, and you can't base laws off of just whatever you want to do, because people are always going to believe that there's different things that will be done, and I think we'll end up in a pretty non-cooperative society anyways, if it turned into some kind of anarchy. So the reason why civil disobedience, again, is more where I'm at, is that there's always going to be laws that are unjust because of human unpredictability and the will to see their situations improve without regard for the greater good. So therefore, we have to display our opinions on what's best for society and try to change the laws that we feel are unjust. But at the same time, we must believe that there is some kind of legitimate state, and that we're truly, you know, doing this for the betterment of society. I think that is it. So in conclusion, I'm definitely a civil disobedience guy, as far as that goes. And I think I did all this stuff too. Yeah, so thank you for everything, and I will see you hopefully next semester. All right, have a good one.